Sherry and I had the privilege of seeing Lorraine for a period of time Monday, late Monday morning, and you know and I know that moving to glory is a blessing. It alleviates the suffering for the individual, but it creates a whole new chapter for those that are left to continue walking. And we love you, Larry, and we're surrounding you with our love and prayers. And we'll do that next Sunday. The memorial service for Lorraine will be immediately following our divine service at 11:30 here, and it will just be a continuation of the service we have. That'll be next Sunday at 11:30. And any other announcements that you would like, or prayer requests that you have? Any other prayer requests? Okay, let's go to the Lord. Our gracious God, we thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day, though cold. It's a tremendously clear day. It's a day in which we come together with the excitement of what this year will hold. But it's also a day in which we come together with pain and suffering of this past week on a local level as we had to say goodbye for a period of time to one that meant so much to all of us. And then moving into the week, a very distressing week as we saw such anger and hatred and just confusion in our country. We pray that your Spirit would work in every situation. As we gather for the baptism of our Lord Sunday, at the very center of that is how your Spirit came upon the chaos of water and brought new life. I pray that your Spirit would come into those situations that cause us pain. I pray that your Spirit would draw close to Larry and to Jean and to Lisa and to all of us in our loss of Lorraine. We pray that your Spirit would encourage and strengthen. We pray that your Spirit would continue to draw close to those that closed out 2020, experiencing loss and change. We pray that your Spirit will be the one who blows where it wills, giving us encouragement, giving us a reminder that you are the Lord, you are our Father, and we are your trusting children. We pray that your Spirit will continue to blow in our land, that those that lead us will lead us according to your word. We pray that your Spirit will continue to blow in your church, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will have free recourse, and it will be not only our only proclamation, but it'll be our only hope, and a sure hope it is. We pray that you'll continue to be with those in our congregation that are recovering from different surgeries and procedures and pains. We trust you and thank you in advance for what this wonderful year will hold. For we know we are held by you as we progress. We pray that you would be with our worship service today. May Christ be glorified. And we thank you for making us your children. We thank you for just the love that we know in Christ Jesus and his identification with us. We thank you for that, and we pray in his holy name. Amen. If you'll join with me to the front of the bulletin, we will enter our worship service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the bulletin insert, we will use the 29th Psalm, calling each to this holy task and privilege of worship. Let us call each to do that. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory. The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace.
Thank you. first reading today is from 1 Genesis 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord.
Altogether different when we see a king who serves us, a sovereign that comes to us, a creator that created all things, who out of love and compassion would subject himself to the very structures he had created. But we thank you. We praise you. We lift high your holy name, that in the fullness of time you came, born of a woman, born under the law, to live perfectly, never missing a beat of proper devotion and obedience to the Father, submitting yourselves even to the waters of baptism. Again, for no other reason than that God so loved the world. We give you thanks. Eternally we give you thanks. The love of Christ is our only hope in life and in death. And our only song is that which praises the one who comes in the name of the Lord, making us your children. And as your children now, we offer our prayer to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
The second reading for today is from Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
gospel reading is Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I. The strap of his sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We are blessed people, recipients of your love, called by your name, invited to come into your presence as one. We have what so many long for. We have a family. We have a loving father. We are joint heirs with the beloved Son. We have a future that is secured and a present in which your joy is our strength. What more could we say? What more could we ask for than to simply say, "Thank you," and "to your name be praised." Amen. I love the end of the year in a way, quite apart from any religious reasons. I love, and I have since ninth grade, whatever age that would make me, I have been a user of daytimer type products. And I know that would probably sound dorky as a high school student, but I wore it well, and I used to go to the office supply store and get a new day timer or date book, and you know that excitement. Do some of you know that excitement? And you're looking at that, and you're excited to fill it out and to put all the stuff that you know is going to happen for that coming year. Birthdays and holidays. You list out your plans, and you're so excited about those things that you know are coming. And if we're honest, we're also a little excited about those things that we know are going to be coming, but we don't know how to plan for them. We don't know how to list them. We don't know what date they will happen, but there's this anticipation. And Mark's gospel, which is where we'll be continuing to trek through the entirety of this liturgical year, Mark's gospel brims with that type of anticipation and excitement about what is going to come. Like, you can picture little kids in a playpen, up on their tippy toes, trying to see what's coming. It's fitting because the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, sets the theme and the flavor of this book of Mark, where we're looking for this proclamation that one is coming that will bring the rain. One is coming that will be the great and awesome day of the Lord. One is coming who will come to you and bring, and God will finally have his day. The old covenant, the Old Testament ends with that in Malachi. And here Mark, the first gospel written, picks up that same anticipation. Epiphany, that great unveiling of Jesus Christ to all the nations, happened this past Wednesday. It was very distressing to me as I told the men's group on Wednesday night that on Wednesday, most of the pastors and clergy that I'm friends with in this country on social media, everyone tended to be more concerned about what was happening in D.C. than what was happening in the larger picture, that this was Epiphany. This was a day in which Jesus Christ and His glory is for all the world. And there will be several weeks of Epiphany. Epiphany begins with the baptism of Christ in Mark, where we read, Jim read, and we heard, "Thou art my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." Scholars debate whether or not the whole setting was heard by her. It was just to Jesus. It is put in the second. And there's a part of me that likes to hear that in front of everyone, God said to His beloved Son, "You're the one. You are the one." So Epiphany begins with Christ's baptism, hearing, "You are the one." And it ends in chapter 9 of Mark, where we'll have transfiguration, where in all His glory, God will say again, "He is the one. He is the one." We come together at baptism, and we understand that baptism is, of all things, a repentance. A repentance, a shifting. You've heard others talk about how baptism or repentance is that metanoia, that changing of your mind, that radical shift that happens. We're going to see in a little bit, probably the greatest radical shift all of us made was when we were born. We went from one state, having existed for 9 months in total life, like Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and His life began in the womb of the Virgin Mary, so we too were conceived. And our life began, and we developed in the womb of our mother. But it was a radical shift when we became oxygen breathers. And the cord was cut, and we had to live in a totally different way of life. And we're going to see these connections between baptism and birth in a bit. And it was the same for Jesus Christ. He was the one who had come. And John the Baptist was saying, "Now leave the wilderness of all your hopes and disappointments. Leave the wilderness of all your longings and come to the river." As we look in Mark, the first chapter, so we see something interesting in verse 5. Most of the time in the Gospels, people are going to Jerusalem. Jerusalem seemed to be the apex, the center of where activity was happening. It's interesting, as Mark, even in the first verse, and he continues it throughout his Gospel, puts up that there's a strong dichotomy between the way of the Lord and the day of the Lord and the way of the world. And what he makes a strong point here is, instead of going to Jerusalem, I'm calling you away from Jerusalem. Away from that religious system. Away from a man-made religion. Away from all of those things where you have found security and trust. Come away from Jerusalem and come to the river. Come to that river. They knew that river, didn't they? They knew the River Jordan. It figured largely in the thinking of every Jew. They knew, just like your own birth, that crossing that River Jordan had been a repentance, a shift, a change in their country's history. And so Mark continues, having called them to the river to preach this gospel, and the gospel he proclaims has three stanzas we see in this passage. And the first stanza is very simple. He says, "This is the day. You've been looking for it, but now this is the day." As we read in Genesis, the word "day" in our scripture sometimes does refer to a literal 24-hour day. And you can tell that by the context, and sometimes you can tell it by the context being so explicit, as it was in what Judy read. It says there was evening and there was morning, a day. But there are other times in Scripture where the word "day" is used to refer not to a chronological time, but to a new kairos, a new era. This is the day of the Lord. We read in Thessalonians, Paul even tells us at times, and I don't know if I've ever heard contemporary Christians use this nomenclature, but Paul would say that as Christians, we're people of the day. We're people of the day of Jesus Christ, this radical shift. And that's what John the Baptist says, come to this river, come to this baptism, because this is the day. All that you've been looking forward to, all that you've been waiting for, it's now here. Don't look anywhere else. Don't go any further. This is the day. But the second thing he says in this proclamation of the gospel is not only is this the day, but this is the one. Jesus is the one. You probably know that the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua. Or it gets transliterated into the Hebrew as Joshua. And the people of Israel, when they heard John calling them away from Jerusalem, come from and to the Jordan, they go back to think again of that day in which they had met the Jordan for the first time. As they were coming out of slavery in Egypt, as they were coming from that life that hounded them, kept them in chains, out of all that bondage, they thought everything was good, but they got to a dead end. They got to the Jordan, and they just knew they were dead. They were toast. They had left Egypt. They were doing fine. They knew the forces were behind them, but they were making good time. But they got to the Jordan. They got to a place in life where they couldn't do it on their own. They got to a place where their best thinking couldn't figure it out. They got to a place where there was no way to go forward. They got to a place where they knew, we are going to die. And guess what? Theologically, they were very correct. But what Jesus shows us is that it's at that point of death to self. Just like in baptism, when we get to that point where we die, then we can allow the Spirit to rise us up and we walk in newness of life. So the people of Israel fleeing Egypt got to the Jordan, and they did have to die. They were no longer the people fleeing Egypt. They were now the people of the land. They were the people that were going to, the chosen one. But they needed someone to lead them through. And you know who it was. It couldn't be Moses with all the law. It couldn't be all the others. It was this new, the one who had believed the promise in Numbers 13, the one who against all the other spies said, we can't do it. Here was one who lived up to his name, and his name was Joshua. And his name meant, we can't do it, but Yahweh saves. And he led them through the Jordan to new life. Now John the Baptist is saying, not only is this the day, but this is the one. And the new Joshua, Yeshua, Yahweh says, is here. And he will lead us through the death to all those ego-bound, self-centered, sinful practices. And put that to death, and we will rise and walk in newness of life. Jim was reading this translation. Unlike Matthew and Luke, who say the heavens were rolled back, Mark uses a stronger term in the Greek. Mark says that the heavens were ripped, were torn. And it's a word that we know quite well. It's a word we saw play out this past Epiphany Day. It's the Greek word from which we get the English word schism. A tear, a permanent division where there's no repairing it. Where the sides have fossilized on both sides and there's no meeting. A tear, a complete and permanent rupture. Mark likes this word, and we're going to see it two other times. And it's interesting, it's in a Trinitarian mode. Just like this baptism, we see the Trinity. In Mark, we're going to see this notion of being torn, this schism, three times. Here we see it where the Spirit is torn from heaven. We'll see it in chapter 15 where the exact same word, and the dots will connect, when Jesus died on the cross, you remember the veil was torn, a permanent rupture, never to be repaired, totally separated. So the Spirit is torn from heaven in chapter 1. In chapter 15, we're going to see the Father is torn from the temple. He comes out of the holy place and He comes to you personally. He's our Father. And then in chapter 16, we see that Jesus Christ is going to be torn from the tomb. No longer will death be His. No longer is death ours. And that's our hope. As we have to say goodbye to, as we did this week, to Lorraine and to others, we understand because of the work of Jesus Christ, she's not being torn from us. She has that which she could not lose, and that's the eternal life of Jesus Christ. This is the one. And then the final stanza, because this is the day and this is the one, the final thing he says is that we are united together in the one. We are the one. He came to the river, and the river killed him. I want to turn to another picture where we see a repentance, a shift, a total change that's above ourselves. Turn to John 3, if you have your scriptures. John 3. Your first verse you probably learned as a child was John 3:16. I'm glad we did. I probably would have preferred John 1 to 8, but John 3 verses 1 to 8, but at least it's in the same chapter. So if you go to the context of John 3:16, you see it's a discussion that Jesus had between himself and the second highest teacher in the nation of Israel, Nicodemus. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So what Jesus is saying, what our catechism knows, is just like in the gestation of our first birth, which takes place in water. So the water of baptism totally and truly signifies the birth into the divine life, the new life, but it first started in the waters of the Jordan, when they were rescued through the Jordan. This is not a radically new teaching that Jesus has given to Nicodemus. And you can tell that by what Jesus continues to say in verse 9 to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said to them, How can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel? And you don't get this? You're the second highest teacher, and you didn't learn in the first couple lessons in in Pharisee school? You didn't get this? See, this was taught. This is a message of both the Old and the New Testament. That in order for us to be in union with God and each other, we have to die to self and be reborn in Him. It was pictured in the Old Testament and in the New Testament through the movement of water, the Jordan. But we can't do it alone. We need a Joshua. We need a Yeshua. And we have a Jesus Christ. Let me close with a word picture that I think is just powerful of how this gift of Jesus unites us. And Mark is so brilliant. He's often put as like the quick gospel that just isn't as deep as the others. And I think that's a misreading. If you look at, he's so tightly written, this word picture. We see here in this gospel reading of the morning that Jesus comes out of water. He comes up from the water. And what happens? The Holy Spirit comes down. Follow this? He comes up out of the water, and it says the Holy Spirit came down and eternal life. At the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, what does he do? At that day of ascension, he goes up, and guess what happens immediately after that? The Holy Spirit again comes down at that day of Pentecost. The first created that individual, personal relationship that all of us must have in Jesus Christ and with God through Jesus Christ. That second shows that he came down and he birthed a people. He birthed a church. He birthed at that day of Pentecost when he went up and the Holy Spirit came down. He created a oneness, a unity. Brothers and sisters, this is all that we have to offer the world. But if you look back over the week, events of just this past week, isn't this exactly what we need to show to the world? That we can be one. That we can come together in love. That we can know the forgiveness that comes from God alone. We can receive it and we can give it in a gracious way to others. Wouldn't that be a great picture for us to show? Well, it's good because that's our task. Jesus Christ in his epiphany came to show the world he is the light. And now as he sent us, it's our job to go for it. It's not a hard task. It's not a complicated task. It can be hard at times. But it's not complicated. We just go and show the love we have received. Knowing that it's not us, but it's the Spirit that fell upon us. Showing that he is the only way. George MacDonald, and I'd like to close with this, author, the poet that sort of inspired several people, including C.S. Lewis, speaking about the baptism of Jesus Christ. He said, "The fatherhood and the sonship are one, save that the fatherhood looks down lovingly and the sonship looks up lovingly. Love is all, and God is all in all. All he is doing is seeking to get down to us so that we can, in love, get down for others." Brothers and sisters, as we enter this year, may we, in the love of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, get down in love for those in need of most. Amen. I'd like us to stand and confess our faith. Given the fact that the Trinity has been emphasized in this day, we're going to use the Nicene Creed. It's in the bulletin. It's maybe not memorized by us. So it's printed there for us in the Nicene Creed. Let us recite this together, not as a recitation, but as a confession. May these truths be treasured by us. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
So join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of hope, in your Holy Spirit, you covered over the face of the waters in creation, and in the pillar of fire you led your people to liberation across the Red Sea. Through the waters you brought your people into the life and land of promise. In your Son's baptism at the Jordan, we see your creative and liberating purpose at work amid our human flaws and failures, and we hear anew with hope the promise of your voice. In your own baptism, you number us among your saints, created and redeemed for your glory. Through baptism, you bury us in death with Christ, yet raise us to new life with him forever. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels and archangels, and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessing God, who sent down your Holy Spirit like a dove upon your beloved, send your Spirit among us now to sanctify us by your grace. By the power of the same Spirit, make these gifts of bread and of wine be for us the very body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, blessed the bread, and distributed it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ shall come again.
Father of glory, you have opened your heaven and come among us. Be close to those who ache for your liberating power in the midst of travail, and seek your open heaven. Visit all who need the healing, forgiving, peacemaking, and restoring touch of your Spirit, and look for your kingdom to come. Bless all who long to be called to love, thy sibling or parent or spouse or friend or child, and any who are searching for the love that only you can bring, until all stand in your presence and sing to me, and are folded in your embrace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want you to go back in your mind to a picture that was brought to your thinking, and I elucidated it verbally at the beginning. That picture of people gathering to a river, coming to a river. I also want you to overplay on that a scene that many of us have. Any of us who've grown up in certain traditions, or any of us who've watched a Billy Graham crusade. You may remember, as people are responding to the proclamation of the gospel, whether to the front of an auditorium or to a river, there's the same message that comes. You know the song, "Just as I am." Brothers and sisters, the gift of these simple sacraments, for God in His wisdom took that wonderful message of the gospel and tied it with very simple, dare I say, common elements. Ones that all of us share, regardless of our intelligence, regardless of our background, regardless of our socioeconomic stature, regardless of anything, we understand water. We understand bread. We understand wine. And He tied the greatness of His truth to these simple elements, reflective of how He took the entirety of Godhead bodily and put it into a man. He incarnated that. The message of the gospel is that when we come to Him today, He does it again. He does it all over again. He takes His grace and He incarnates that in wherever you are in life. Whatever situation you're dealing with, the hurt and the loneliness, the pain, the confusion, He comes. For He is the one. And this is the day, and together we come to the table. So being the Lord's table, I ask all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth to come, to receive for all. Come as you are and receive the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. We come as we are, but we leave as one. For we would come to the baptism as we are. We would strip off all those clothes that were identified us as us, and we would receive forgiveness. And having received forgiveness, there would be a white robe of righteousness placed around us. So we come to this place as we are, but we leave as He is. What a happy exchange. We come and leave our sinfulness as we are, and we take unto Him the complete forgiveness of our sins, and we leave draped, fully clothed in the pure righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise be unto Him. For we are not worthy, but just say the word, and we are healed. Drink ye all of it. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' baptism, You declared Him to be Your beloved Son and set Him apart as Your agent of grace for Your creation. May we who are baptized into His life also be sent as agents of grace into Your world through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit both now and forevermore. Amen.
Trust Him for next week, and Jeannie's going to sing what she was going to sing at the offertory now. Okay? Thank you.
Now the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.